Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Crooked Halo podcast, where broke people come to talk about rich things. This is your this is your host, Jay Wesley, speaking.
And this is your co-host, M. Wesley? They're not ready.
What? Where did you get M. Wesley? Mike? Oh, you are. Yeah.
Hit him with it. Yeah, this
So you can obviously tell this
podcast. Yo, it's Mike Brown. I'm here.
Podcast is going to be a little bit different than what you guys have been accustomed to. Seriously, this might get cut. I don't know.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see what happens. You know what? I'll lead. This might get cut. So fuck it. How did you feel after posting what privilege is?
First of all,
I just come and swing it.
What's the name? I'm the captain now. Are you just
gonna the pirates?
Yeah,
the Somalians.
Yeah, like,
you just Captain Phillips.
How are you gonna turn this into an interview about me? This is not even your pocket. Yeah, let's get into the introductions.
Okay. Okay.
The recorder is spiraling out of control, so I think this mic is too high.
Like, okay.
I think we may have to lower the volume down.
Yeah, bring my volume down a little bit.
And
I'll stay here
and figure this out.
Yeah.
So. But I don't know if you guys can tell, like, this is not an ordinary guest. This is my boy, Mike Brown.
Yep.
On social media platforms, yo, Mike Brown.
Holla at me. What's up?
Mike Brown, tell them about yourself before we get into the podcast.
Okay. So, first of all, thank you for having me on the podcast. Really, really appreciate it.
Long overdue.
And I'm very, very proud of you for having the podcast, for going with it. When I did mine, I would tell you a lot of things that I was doing, and you would help push me to do my podcast. I still have some of the audio from ours that we did, which is a fun one to like share. But I'm really, really happy that you're doing this. I'm glad to be here. And I know some of your listeners have heard me or heard my name pop up on previous episodes. So it's just dope to be here as a guest. And also, you have been one of the champions of You Good, the podcast. So it's also great to be on here, as I have been on like my podcast hiatus. So it just feels like good. Like, oh shit, like I'm doing the podcast with my boy. Like we're doing it.
Finally.
So yeah, finally.
So Mike Brown has a podcast by the name of You Good. It's amazing. It's an amazing listen. It's centered around mental health, and it's always interesting and somewhat unique to hear mental health viewpoints from a black male. But Mike Brown being also the comedian, the scholar, he adds some nuances and some layers to his podcast. So if you haven't heard it before, it's definitely worth the listen. And I'm not saying that because he's one of my best friends. Like, it's seriously a good listen. But Mike Brown, you're doing other things. So just let them know quickly.
Oh, okay, cool. See, and
I didn't mean to put you on the spot like that.
Yeah.
But seriously, I want you to like plug yourself.
Yeah, and I'm trying to get better with that in 2021. So yeah, I'm a comedian. I'm a writer. I did acting a bit. I'm all those things. I'm a creative, but I just describe myself as a comedian writer first. I'm currently on Full Frontal with Samantha Bee as a correspondent, which is a great show on TBS. Please check it out. I've been doing stand-up for the past 10 years. I've been in the New York Comedy Festival, then San Francisco Sketch Fest, one of Rooftop Comics, 10 Comics to Watch. I've been on Comedy Central, Adult Swim, all those things. I need to update my resume comedically, mentally, so I can be much better at this.
It's a lot of ink.
It's a lot of ink. A lot of ink is happening. And, yeah, I also just love people, and I feel that there needs to be more love, compassion, and understanding in the world, and that's one of the reasons I do comedy. And so, like, it's good to just kind of chill out with people that I fuck with, you know?
I think comedy is dope, but we can go into that later.
Yeah.
Transitioning away from that, we did that. We did our intros. I always said if I had a guest on this podcast, or when I had a guest on this podcast, you didn't even know about this. I wanted to do, like, this random fire questions. Like, spitfire. What is it called? Spitfire?
Yeah.
Is that what it's
rapid
called?
Fire,
rapid
fire.
Sorry. Okay. Rapid fire questions. Right? So I'm putting you on the spot. So I'm going to ask you five questions, and you have to say the first thing that comes to mind when I ask you these questions. All right? So number one.
All right.
When I think of love, and I'm talking about you, you know, Mike Brown. When Mike Brown thinks of love, he thinks of?
I think of euphoria. I think of a time where, or a state of being where, everything feels like things are supposed to be exactly where they're meant to be. I also think that that definition can change from person to person. So even as I say this, I'm like, I don't know if that's the right answer, but that's the first thing that comes to my mind.
Yeah, because I was like, okay. See? All right, cool.
You got through the disclaimer.
Nah, that's cool. All right. So we're going to limit these answers to 10 to 15 words, all right?
Okay, cool, all cool, right. Cool. Oh, okay. That's even better. Good.
I'm at my best when?
I'm focused.
Black is?
Beautiful.
Not the traditional answer. Black is also? That's number three then.
Wait, why do we turn into Family Feud?
Black is also
power.
No, seriously, like, what does black mean to you when you think about black? I'm not even letting you off the hook with that one.
I really, well, beautiful is really where I am with it, and it's something that I think if you'd asked me like 5 years ago, that wouldn't have been my answer. It would have been something like, it's not monolithic. Mm-hmm. And I would have really like harped on the point of every black person has their own experience. And so my black doesn't mean you're black and this, mm-hmm. that, and the third, but we're all different and all the people. But it's like, nah, it's beautiful. And especially mm-hmm. in the times that we're living in now, it's just reinforced for me. So I know it just sounds like cliche rhetoric shit, but it's like, oh no, it's beautiful.
Now I think I actually maybe like tertiary questions because beauty is a definition, right?
Yeah.
And so everyone's definition of beauty is different. And I think some people like to cast a broad net. Mm-hmm. But I was kind of curious to know if you dove deeper okay. into why it was beautiful. But anyway, but it's
okay.
Just,
okay,
it's,
we can get into it.
It's rapid fire, so okay. you can yeah. answer however you
I
want.
I gave you that one word.
I was like, wait, what? I'll get better with that. All right. 2020 taught me.
Wow. I still feel like I'm learning from 2020. 2020 taught me independence. No, I take that back. 2020 taught me value.
A man should cry when?
Whenever he feels like it.
Dope answer. That is a good answer. That's a crooked yellow answer. You drink to that.
I drink to it.
You don't got
to
drink to it. I mean,
you did it.
All right. So, I hit you with some spitfire questions, mm-hmm. right? Yeah. Oh, rapid fire. Why rapid do I keep calling it spitfire? I hope that's a thing.
Because I spit hot fire.
That's true, too. All right. So now you get to hit me with three.
All right. It's like, it's funny. Like, you got to give me rapid fire answers, and I'm also coming up with rapid fire questions.
Do
okay.
one to others, right?
Yeah.
I'm trying
okay.
something different.
Oof. All right. Okay. Success is?
Difficult to achieve when you always think bigger.
Lucky I'm not counting those words out because I'd be like, are those 10? No, like, I'm just making sure it's
success means a lot of different, it means different things to different people, and you have different types of success, financial success, physical success, like long-term success. It's, we can get into that in the quick little classroom. All right, go.
What's the most important thing in a romantic relationship?
Knowing where the entrance is and the exit.
Think about that. No.
Like I could have given you love. I could have given you communication, but mm-hmm. I think there are some skill sets or qualities that you need to enter it, right? Yeah. You can have all of those things, but if you don't know how to enter and when to leave, you're trapped, and love shouldn't feel like a trap.
What would you have told yourself 10 years ago?
invest in Bitcoin. Andre almost hit 40 today.
It's nuts.
You know, Ted, maturity is one thing, right?
Yeah. But, investment growth is a whole nother.
Investment growth. Investment growth meanders a lot more, right?
Yeah, that's a whole nother ball game right there.
All right, cool. I hope you all listening enjoyed that segment because I know I did, and I hope that whenever I have guests, it's going to be as comfortable as this because Mike Brown is like truly a friend for 15 plus years. I'm just saying 15 because I know that's at minimum.
Yeah, yeah.
And we talk about real life issues, but we joke a lot. And this podcast isn't supposed to be your typical podcast. Like, it's literally normal people. I feel like we're like normal or average people doing extraordinary things. And I feel that if you're tuning in, you're within that same ecosystem. And I want you to be comfortable in your norm. Like, this is how we are all the time. This is how I am all the time. It's hard for me to joke around when I'm doing a podcast by myself. And just for a little context, Mike Brown was also one of the ones that inspired me to do my podcast because he has his podcast, You Good. And in its later season, he started doing a lot of them by himself. And to be in solitude with your own thoughts is never an easy task. And I know what it feels like because that's normally the environment I'm in when I'm writing. And you're putting art out on the weekly basis. And so it takes a village, right? And if you want to know, if you want to learn about a person, you examine their five closest friends, right? And I'm like, here's my boy, courageous enough to take on this new project. And he's not the only one that's courageous. So I think he helped me gain a little bit more confidence in time and by talking to come out with this podcast. And here it is. So Crooked Halo Crew podcast. It's the podcast that is still defining itself. But all I know is that we're good people that are flawed and learning to love our scars, and that's why I like this podcast.
Yeah, this podcast is like, I think one of my favorite things about the podcast is that because it's a Crooked Halo Crew, and like we've talked about it, like even during like, I think like Inception, I'm like, oh yeah, I'm whatever you're making, I'm part of that. Like I'm in that. It doesn't matter what it is. And I feel like if someone's listening to the podcast, especially people who might have followed the like the Jay Wesley journey at all through, then they're like, oh, this is a place where we can kind of like congregate because we all have this same shared feeling of like we're trying to be the best version of us, but there's always things that might prevent us from being our, even if it's ourselves, like there's scars that we have and we're like, oh, we're not perfect because of this. It's like, no, it's cool. You know what? You're not perfect. Nobody's perfect, but guess what you're perfect for? Crooked Halo Crew. Come over here. You know what I mean? So I personally love that you're doing a podcast. And even like when I was doing like You Good, because I think I might have talked about it on the podcast once or twice, but there have been so many times where like we've had conversations and you're like, yo, that episode was a great episode. And because I usually stay to myself, like isolated, I don't know how I sound when I'm talking to the world. And I don't know if it makes any sense to anybody. So when you give me that, I'm like, huh, maybe there's a point to it. You know what I mean? Because like we've never steered each other wrong in anything, right? Yeah. And it reinforces the idea that I do have something to offer, because sometimes I do, even as like a comedian in the public space, like with my real name out here trying to make people laugh and do all those things, it's like I feel so quote unquote exposed. So I'm like, man, I'm really just going on some of these episodes. And so when you're like, no, this is dope, it gives me like that shield to be like, all right, keep going, keep doing your thing. Yeah. So, and in my hiatus now, just like listening to Crooked Halo is like, it kind of keeps me centered.
Yeah, no, it's cool.
And especially when you borrowing. I'm a curse on this.
Yeah, I'll curse, I don't care.
Especially when you fucking borrowing. Yeah. Like that the episode with the music? I was like, this guy.
I felt like the old Kanye that last episode.
Oh, man.
Right. And if you're thinking in terms of like Crooked Halo classroom, right? If I had a chalkboard, number one, what I would write on the board right now, based on what you just told me, Mike Brown, is find your tribe.
Yep.
Find your fucking tribe.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes, oftentimes, when we have like these heavy insecurities, it's because we're around people that make us feel insecure, and we start to inherit these beliefs that we don't belong. Facts. I'm odd. I'm weird. My purpose isn't great enough. Exactly. And it's something. And it reminds me of that episode when I was talking about switching rooms.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Find your room. Like, you got to find your tribe. And I think that's the most difficult thing too about entrepreneurship.
Yeah.
About being an artist.
Yeah.
Because you're literally presenting yourself on a stage outside of your tribe, hoping that other people can relate.
It's so bugged out. Like, I feel like in comedy, you want to find your audience, but first you want to find your voice.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So you're like, my particular comedy journey was like so much of like, all right, I have these ideas and I want to get them out, and I have like a purpose for what I want to say. Right? So I'm trying to find my voice. And it's like, okay, you found your voice. Now find your audience. Now you find your audience. And then it's like everything feels fragmented. And it's like, okay, now find a place where your voice makes sense. And you have to do all this finding. And what I've realized in like my decade of doing comedy is that personally, I had my tribe already. And I was trying to like go do comedy and find like my comedy tribe in a way. But while doing that, there was my own personal tribe. It was like, oh, they were always there. But like that tribe makes the comedy tribe, because the personal tribe is where I'm really just like truly myself, just like running around saying the fuck, saying whatever I want, and being like called to task, like, yo, what are you doing? And being like, all right, yeah, that's just me. I'm wilding out. And that person, that version of me, that guy goes out and finds the tribe. And when just to bring up like the whole Black is Beautiful thing, like now I've realized so much about like my tribe. Like, oh, I know where my tribe is. I know who my tribe is. And through my tribe, I know who I am. And it's just been like a wild fucking journey. So
I feel you. Like, I'll be honest with you, I've been in the same boat with it. So to touch on two points, right? It reminds me of when we were talking about success.
Yeah.
Right. Because you said, first I have to find my voice. Success, mm-hmm. right? But then now there's another goal ahead of you. Now I have to find my audience.
Yep.
Success.
Yeah.
My audience was an audience of two. Yep. Now I got to expand it to 100.
Grow it.
Hit 100. Success.
Yeah.
But now how do I? And so it's always a journey, and it can be tiring. And I think the problem we often have is that sometimes we don't stop, take a look back, and actually measure the growth, right?
We don't count
the baby steps. We want to hit that home run, but and it's often never enough, because you're especially when you're a doer and a big thinker, it's just like, how do I grow? And I kind of credit it to that West Indian teaching where, hey mom, dad, I got a 99 on my test, like,
yep.
And then, you know, on a Tuesday night, mom and dad, I got a 99 on my test, right? Wednesday, you're back in school. You're with your friend. Your friend is like, yo, you know, did you tell your parents you got a 99? And I'm not as excited as they are.
Yep.
And they're like, why are you sad? Because my parents asked me what happened to the other point.
That's it.
And I'm like, and they're like, wait, what? And I think for me, I may have touched on this in another podcast, I'm always chasing my one point.
Yeah, I think, man, it's, I think that's one of like the pillars of like our friendship, where it's like we both always try to go for that next thing. And I think we both also know each other well enough to like know when we're going for that next thing. Be like, yo, it's cool where you at. Like, it's cool. Like, you can go get it, but also it's cool where you at. And I've been coming to terms with going for that next point, but also being secure in the fact that I've scored all these points already. Because what I've been doing, I realize I've been doing, is I would put so much weight on that last point, on that not getting 100%, that I don't celebrate and accept the 99%. And I look at that as a failure. And that's just me.
It's like, but the same thing happens in relationships. I can please a person 99 ways, but there is a chance that she might leave me for the one point to find that one. Or she might find a man that pleases her in one way, and he is deprived of the other 99.
Right is wrongs. From Heartbreaks to Love Whatever. Notes now available.
It's just like, but it's life.
Barring.
It's life. But it's life. But I'm also glad that you even talked about finding your voice, because I think that was something difficult for me. And I think for many people listening to this podcast right now, they may have a passion that mm-hmm. they want to put out to the world, but they haven't found their voice. And they also sometimes question or might be fearful of how would their voice be received.
Yeah.
Right? I have these ideas, but what are you going to think? And so I think in the process of becoming an artist, I think, first of all, actually, let me take that back. We are all artists. In the process of me evolving in my artistry, I learned to find my voice, because before I would tuck Jay Wesley away, I'll put words out there, but I would never put the face. Would even share my real name just in case it came back to me, because, yo, who's this Jamaican talking about?
I think
love
it's the smartest thing, dude. Right? I think it, like,
but everything happens for a reason.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
What's interesting enough, like, I found my voice on paper. The podcast has helped me find my voice vocally, which is super cool. And then, you know, your demons coming like, who's going to listen? Do I have anything important to say? And then you realize, you know, you have an army. You have a crooked crew that was waiting for someone to come about the stage, come up on the stage and announce that we're meeting in the lobby or something like that. And that's super fucking cool. And I am thankful for everyone that is listening to this podcast and this random ass, like, well, it'll get more structured when it gets more structured. I'm done making promises and feeling like, I'm like, yeah, this episode is going to be short. Last one I said, this episode is going to be real short, because I thought it was going to be a 3-minute episode after
3 hours later.
After I barred it to death, I thought. And then 27 minutes later, that ended up being my longest episode. This actually may actually supersede that, because I'm looking at the recording now and I don't think I've ever recorded this long, but we're about to find out. So, moving on, I want to get into the Crooked Halo classroom portion of the podcast quickly.
Okay.
Light on the quickly. Right? And to be honest, like, we would be remiss if we didn't really discuss what took place yesterday or how we felt.
Okay.
When you try to hijack my
the podcast. I was ready to go.
But really quickly, you know, how did you feel about what took place yesterday?
Well, we've known each other for a while, and I think my stance has always been that I think that we all can just get along, like Rodney said, Rodney King said. I hope for this, like, beautiful America where everybody just, like, works together and just, like, contributes. And for the longest, especially for, like, my comedy brain, I would always see racism in America. And it's like, but I was never able to point out, like, you see, you did this to us, but you're not doing it to them. So clearly one-to-one. And watching them go into the Capitol building and seeing everything happen where they weren't following the law and order that they were supposedly about, that they felt just emboldened to be like, we're not leaving the building. This is our building. And the way that they spoke about America and the way that they feel about America, it just reminded me that, one, I wasn't crazy really for thinking that there were two different Americas and being like, well, maybe it could just be one America. That's part of it. And two, that the country, regardless of political affiliations, they might never address our issues. They might never address racism, not even like systemic in a sense of schools work and whatnot, but they just might not address it even on a social or disciplinary action. So for me, I just feel totally awake to it. where before I was like, okay, no, I can exist and maneuver through life with all this. Now it's like, oh no, this is the realest example of it you can get. And the cherry on top, when Biden tweeted that, this is not the America I know. We can be so much better than this. Or something along those lines. I was just like, oh, there goes the rhetoric again.
Fucking rhetoric.
That's all. That's all. I was like, all right.
That's all that was.
Just rhetoric.
Like, dude. Biden, what America do you know?
Yeah.
Right? What America do you know? I know in my case, I was upset with myself.
Mm-hmm.
For allowing myself to get upset one more time.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because it wasn't surprising. It wasn't shocking. And the timing, because we also had recently received news that the cops that shot Jacob Blake.
Yeah.
Got off.
Got off. No charges, no nothing.
No charges. And to watch the government cower in fear.
Yep.
And the government, quotation, mm-hmm. higher government.
Yeah.
Not even for a second extended saying grace. I mean, not they extended extreme grace. Tale of two Americas. Because had we, if the people out there looked like me, it would have been bloody. It would have gotten bloody. And I was one of those people waiting to see when the tanks would come. Waiting to see when the tear gas is going to hit. Waiting, I don't want waiting, to see.
Eating popcorn waiting.
I don't want to see. Like, there's that meme. Was come like, on. It's not that I wanted to see anyone get shot.
Yeah,
like,
I just want to see the same energy. We talk.
Or treat us with that same
treat
energy.
Treat us the same. If you're going to say that you treat us with law and order, I just want to see law and order across the board.
Because we don't know law and order. I was sharing with a group chat that I remember one time I pulled over to ask a cop question.
I asked Wait, a cop you a question. The cop over?
No, I pulled over to the cop.
Oh, okay. I thought you were
to ask him a question. And you know what happened?
What?
I left with a ticket.
Got him.
This is it. We're not asking you to shoot them like you shoot us. We're asking you not to shoot us like you don't shoot them. That's what it is.
That's all it is.
That's what it is. I've had cops pull their guns on me twice. Twice for mistaken identity. One time they cut me off on Flatbush Avenue. Mike Brown, I kid you not, I had about 8 guns pointed at me. That's I'll never forget. This crazy. I'm telling my age right now. I was headed to Blockbuster. It was a Sunday. I was headed to Blockbuster.
Oh, man.
And I'll never forget. I was on the phone with my homegirl Janelle at the time. And I was like, yeah, Janelle, I got to call you back. And people don't know, like, I've been writing the For the Culture book for the longest time, and one of the pieces I have in there is to be black in America is to have guns drawn on you on Sunday and report to work on Monday.
Yeah.
Because that's what happened, and no one fucking knew what happened to me. That was the second mm-hmm. time I had guns drawn on me. And that's the America I know. And so to see a mob of terrorists not even for a second have any fear of what the police would do to them, I cannot help but wonder what that would... I would never know what that feels like. I would never know what it's not, what it feels like to not have a target on my back, or the fear when I hear sirens behind me, or the fear when they extend a stare to me longer than a second. Because I... And the thing about it, I fear... I don't fear man. Like, I don't fear man, but I fear what they can do to me and how they can impact the ones that love me. Because it just takes one trigger happy officer, right, to not only kill me, but kill the ones that love me in the process. You know, and we've experienced that, but not by, mm-hmm. you know,
yeah.
Law enforcement, by, you know, yeah. neighborhood youth, yeah. right? Assholes. Anyway, rest in peace, Mike and Eva.
Yeah.
To witness that mob, it was very difficult for me to even find the words. So and I wanted to talk to you about that, and yeah, like I told you, I put my post about privilege up. on Instagram.
Yeah.
What was it? Privilege is when my gang and I can, vandalize the Capitol building.
Right. Yeah, and be back for dinner.
Yeah. What was it? I have to actually.
Yeah, you quote that for real.
But yeah.
I still have so many feelings about it, and I'm still trying to sort all of it out because there's so much anger that I have, and I think there's a lot of anger not just at the community, but not just at the government, but at myself, because I'm like, they caught me slipping.
Yeah.
Because I should have known that not only would something like that happen, but if something like that did happen, the lack of response would be the response.
Yeah.
So it got me into a point where I had to start questioning, in a sense, the reality of America as I know it. I had this bit I was working on before everything shut down about the two Americas, right? And the way I see America, and it was after I went to Ireland, and I came, and when I was in Ireland, everything was cool. I was one of the few black people there, but like I felt like an American for the first time. It was the first time out of the country, and I was like, "Oh, you treat me like an American, the same way you treat me. You treating all these other Americans. This is different. I feel like I have some kind of, I don't want to say like colorness, but I feel like I have this otherness that I've never felt before. And it was like, oh, this is what white people, like, just, they can just be and exist. And I was like, oh, I feel this. But once I came back to America, I felt that, oh, I'm being treated different here. I mentally had different ways of like maneuvering through the world that nobody else did. And so I'm like, okay, there's America and there's America Plus. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's like a subscription service only available for certain white people.
America,
right?
America Max.
I mean, you know the vibes. You know what I mean? They got premium content. They have no ads, which are the police pulling you over. No breaks in your day. You just have your thing, right?
We just get the free version because we signed up for Sprint.
Yeah, exactly. You know what it is. They're trying to give us the trial, but they never give us the full package.
They give us a different kind of
trial. You know, exactly. Whew. Facts. So I'm sitting in this, in like that feeling, and trying to be like, all right, well, how do I then continue to, as an artist, create content in a world where I thought that I was trying to cater to my people and people who would listen to my story, knowing that, or not knowing to my story, but like to the plight of my people, and knowing that there's this whole world of people who like legit don't give a fuck. And you know, like I've done like podcasts and been on other places where there've been people like different ways of thinking and whatnot, because I'm like, oh, you conservative, it's cool, whatever. Like, I know it's person to person, we could talk some of these issues out, and I could combat you on some facts and you can combat me, and we could walk away and just like shake hands as humans. It is what it is. But when you see like this weaponized ideologies that come to fruition where you're literally taking the Capitol, then I'm like, all right, y'all bugging. Because I can say Black Lives Matter all day. You can have Black Lives Matter peacefully protest, not bothering a soul. Just saying like, hey, we're not out here because we want something from you. We're out here because you've done something to us. Mm-hmm. And you keep doing this thing to us. We're trying to get something to stop from happening that's hurting us. So I'm just at a space where I'm just not trying to figure out how to proceed, but just like looking at everything and feeling everything at once.
Whatever though, like
presence.
I'm not even.
No, I know what you mean.
So the quote or the piece that I posted on Instagram was, "Privilege is knowing my gang and I can storm the Capitol building, vandalize it, and still make it home for dinner by 6." And these numbnuts that came for me and tried to throw Black Lives Matter back in my face. And they're lucky I'm working from home. And yesterday was an easier day because I had a little bit of time.
Yeah.
And so
I don't know how much they came, like, I want to jump in front of them.
They came with the ignorance. And Yeah, first of all, don't try and lump Black Lives Matter in with the Taliban and
yeah, that's crazy.
All other types of terrorists, because we know in America who the real terrorist is. That's one, right?
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, you guys, we're doing this, blah, blah, blah. Black Lives Matter and Black Lives Matter protests, I participated numerous times in a Black Lives Matter protest over the years, right? We're protesting for equality and our rights. These motherfuckers was protesting simply because they didn't get their fucking way. Excuse my language, but
how?
I'm here. No, I'm here now.
Crooked.
Right. You're right. Crooked. Right. And to throw in their defense and their defensive argument was completely false. Right? And don't try and loop Black Lives Matter in with looters and rioters, because you have protesters, you have looters, and you have rioters. And don't act like Black Lives Matter set out to destroy cities, because that's far from the truth. Don't act like people weren't literally infiltrating Black Lives Matter to tarnish this image so we can have this negative portrayal of what that movement stood for, because it's more than peaceful. And honestly, before last year, when you would go to a Black Lives Matter protest, you would oftentimes see more people than not. The majority of people were not even black, but they were speaking up on behalf of black people, which needs to be done. Even Malcolm X said that needs to be done. It's not us. In order for change to happen, you have to speak on behalf of us. You have to push the needle. And so for people to come and treat and provide this information as if it's fact, it's totally incorrect. And then one person even know what she tried to tell me. She was like,
in the feelings.
Was like, yeah, I am.
Get him. Get him. Yeah, I am. Get it out.
And,
get that out.
And we're drinking the Appleton. Oh, you know right? What it is. She was like, well, Black Panther stormed the Capitol in 67.
If you don't get get out of here.
What Netflix show you watch that? Which yeah. But which is true.
Yeah, okay. But also, what did they do to the Panthers?
Which
what did
is
they do
true.
To Fred Hampton?
Which is What's true. So before I blocked the chick. Before I blocked her, I gave her a history lesson, right? Because that is absolutely true. But guess what? The reason why the gun laws aren't the way they once were out in California is because the Black Panthers knew what the laws were.
Yep.
All right. And so they knew if they carried their guns and did not conceal them, they weren't breaking the law.
Yep.
So when they took over that building, they weren't breaking the law. But guess what? They were black with their guns, and obviously that's intimidating. What did they do? They pulled the gun. They took the guns away from them, right? Police grabbed them up.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the day, they broke no laws. So yep. They had to leave, and they were given their guns back, right? So what the fuck are you talking about? What are you talking about? And because black people knew their gun rights, they changed the gun laws because they couldn't do anything about it. Like,
it's so infuriating, man.
But and that's neither here nor there. Actually, it's here and there, and there all the way over there, right?
Yeah.
But the thing about it, and I think what frustrates me is, if there is going to be a space for change, we need to be honest with our reality. And the reality is that our Americas are not the same. And until you see what, you don't have to sympathize with me, right? But empathize with what is taking place, and let's figure out how we collectively can fix that. That's the only way shit is gonna get better. And I'd be lying to you if I told you I'm hopeful, because the ignorant things I saw yesterday just further proves
yeah.
How far we have to go as a country.
This is the disparity that I've seen, right? To sum up my feelings. When Black Lives Matter march, when they march, like, they're marching for their rights. I watched people storm the Capitol because it felt that was their right.
Facts.
Right? So that's that. Then there's this thing about, I would want empathy from the other side. And I'm surprised, not surprised, but it's nice to see some of it happening. But there's also the thing of like, listen, if you see what's going on and you have nothing to contribute to the betterment of America's society, black people as a whole, you also can just shut the fuck up. That's it. Like, I believe that these people that stormed, they feel that their rights have been stomped upon and they feel that the election is being stolen or whatever the hell. The fact of the matter is that they feel that they have rights that we don't feel that we have. And they feel that they have rights that they do not have. And this is the first time, in the same way that I got my wake-up call, in a sense, shout out to Paul Mooney, like, real nigga wake-up call, like, same way I got that, I think that they've kind of gotten that with Barack, and instead of saying, you know what, let's go to the next place, they were like, no, this is too much for us. And it's disgusting. It's just disgusting. Yeah.
Like, it's disgusting. The stuff that's been taking place with elections, when you talk about gerrymandering, right?
Yeah.
And the result.
Voter suppression.
Like, come on, man. Yeah. Like, that's always been a thing.
Voter IDs.
And that,
yeah.
Once again, is the America that I'm aware of.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, this is not something that just happened this year or.
And that you hear of your entire life. It's not a surprise.
So. I didn't really mean to get that deep into this. Like, once again, that's why I didn't even want to make any empty promises about it. We're just going to briefly touch on it. But listen, if you felt a way about what took place yesterday, that is your right. If you didn't feel a way yesterday, that is also your right. But I'm personally disgusted by what I saw.
Yep.
And once again, the courtesy for someone to storm the Capitol building and for an officer to help her down the stairs, like,
that is crazy to me.
Yeah. So
it's y'all just had, you had a Black Lives Matter protest outside the White House, and then y'all called the National Guard within like 30 minutes. And then
they were there.
They were there so we can take a photo op. You mean to tell me that James Blake can go to his car? Jacob Blake can go. James Blake can make a song, but Jacob Blake can go to his car and get. Jacob Blake can go to his car and get shot in the back by police officers, and there'd be four officers at that unit as he's breaking up a fight, right? And you can have all of these people just be let into the Capitol building. And how is it so easy to get into the Capitol building? And you can't get through LaGuardia in 20 minutes. It's insane.
Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense, and it just shows a flaw in the American system. That, like, security wise, and also just like racially, we've been known this, but it's fine. It's the only good thing I think of it is, like, see, you can point to that and be like, you see, this is the bullshit we're talking about. This is it.
At the end of the day, motherfuckers know that if equity is achieved, they have to work harder.
Yep.
And they're fearful. Right?
Yeah.
Because things that have been placed in their lap simply because of the color of their skin, that is removed.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, we're not, and then the thing, like, we're not asking for, to remove anything from your plate. We're literally saying that this country was built on our black.
Yeah,
on our back.
We built the country.
And built on our black, right? That would be a great
built
t-shirt.
On our black.
And but we deserve a seat at this table. We built this home.
Yeah.
Like, we are the foundation. Like, we are also, just as much as racism is in the DNA of America, our labor and our sweat and our blood and our murders and our, you know, that is also in the DNA of this country, you know?
When
we did that other podcast, and it was something similar. It was over.
Which one?
I forgot who got shot. The last, when we recorded a podcast, and for some reason,
it was another cop shooting.
For some reason, we lost the recording.
Yeah.
But I remember one thing said was like, "Yo, the red, white, and blue is black people blood."
Yep.
You know, and so.
Yep.
Yo, no more. We're here.
That's,
you know, we're here. So. Any final thoughts? Because.
Man, my final thought is this. It's like, it seems as though if you're black, they're going to come to get you. that they don't want you to be here. They're going to come to get you. And it's like a thing that like I have been coming to terms with. And if that's the case, then whenever you come, I'm doing everything for my people. I'm doing it for the country that I feel exists, for where my people are loved, my people are respected. And until it becomes that country, I have to fight for it to be that country. And that's just what it is. You know, I don't want beef. You know, I just want peace and my rights.
Racist and ignorant people aren't allowed in Crooked Halo Crew. That's a tenet.
Yeah, yeah.
Y'all can't come. Everyone can't come to Crooked Halo Crew. It's my crew. Get out.
You can't come to Crooked Halo Crew with a Confederate.
Well, that was our ethics portion. That was our ethics portion of the podcast. Crooked Halo Classroom.
African-Americano, Latino studies, Caribbean studies.
Oh, man. I don't know. This was
shout out to Haiti.
Shout out to Haiti. They just celebrated another Independence Day, mm-hmm. 1804. Great country. And if you guys don't know the history of Haiti and the impact on global society, I think you need to read up on it. And I don't know why they keep shutting down. Well, actually, we know why they keep shutting down the document, the films mm-hmm. that cover it, because they really want to cloak it. And mm-hmm. that needs to be known, because their contribution, there is no America without Haiti. But that's another conversation. Rich Gere. We can have you talk about that, or that might be something we could talk about on the Stay Rich podcast.
Yeah. Now that you're gonna be having guests, you can have guests easily.
Yeah, I know. Now that we figure out how to hook up two microphones,
that's a game.
That was work.
That's a game changer.
All right. What else is there? How should we end? I want to end it on a brighter note.
Okay.
All right. Oh, we can do the Give Roses. The Give Roses segment.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And so I'll let you start it off. Who would you like to give roses to?
I'm gonna give two sets of roses. I'm gonna give roses, obviously, to you for doing a podcast, for having me as a guest on it. I wish you continued success. I think what you're doing is great. The merch is dope. No pun intended. Keep it going. And if you haven't seen the merch, jwesleycollection.com. All right.
True.
I also want to give flowers to the entire comedy community that is trying to make people laugh during all this shit. I know it is hard for some of us. I know that looking at the, especially for comedians in the political space, it is insane for us right now to be trying to pull some levity from all of this madness and keep fighting a good fight. And especially the crew at Full Frontal, at Samantha Bee, who I want to say got me on board before all Black Lives Matter thing. People were like, oh, we need black voices. Like, I was in there before that and before Corona hit. So thanks. But shout out to her and the team. I'm always going to big them up.
Cool. And I'm going to give, well, since you broke out two bouquet of roses, I'm going to give two roses. My first one is going to go to Stacey Abrams.
Go ahead.
For that hard work. Yo, Georgia flipped. for someone to have an election stolen from her,
2018
to bounce. Yo, see, when we talk about nothing happened, everything happens for a reason.
Yep,
the universe knew what was ahead and said, "This is what needs to happen in order for this to take place." So
we thought we saw a fail. We saw a superhero origin story.
We saw a live superhero, yep. A Shiro. Yep. And so I want to give her roses, you know, just the utmost respect for the work and the sweat that she put in to mobilize people, to get them to come out and vote. You deserve all the roses. You deserve all the accolades and then some.
For real.
And so my second set of roses, people. Who is it going to go to? Yo, I'm giving roses to my brother for allowing me to use his Netflix account still, man. Because Netflix has definitely gotten me through 2020. And it's about to get me through 2021. So my brother, Drew, I know you're probably not listening to this podcast. I know you support me differently, but my brother, you're my only and my favorite brother, man.
Oh, man.
I love you, man. Thank you for allowing me to use your Netflix. And even though when you're upset with me, you never shut me down, man. I just want to thank you, my brother. You know, and before I go, I just want to practice. I've been practicing my Clubhouse voice. So, ladies and gentlemen, before we pivot out of here, I just want to say it's been a pleasure. You're more than welcome to come back.
Piggybacking off of that, I just want to say thank you. And my social media is at Yo Mike Brown. And I just want to say thank you again. And now I want to transition into letting you close the podcast so beautifully as the way that you were doing. Thank you for inviting me to the stage.
How did you just cut my Clubhouse voice, my brother? But it's okay. Grand Rising, my brother. Grand Rising, Grand Rising. So you can find me at righthiswrongs.com. You can find me at righthiswrongs on all social media handles. Seriously, support J. Wesley Collection. Great merch out there. Inspirational. Feel good quality merch. Thank you for supporting the podcast. Thank you for supporting my words. Thank you for standing up for me in my comments when racists try to get me down or ignorant people try to get me down. I truly love and appreciate all the support, and I'll see you soon. Mike Brown, long overdue. Love you, my brother. Thank you for an amazing podcast. I hope everyone enjoyed. See you soon. Peace.